Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Years ago, I had a church conference I had to go to, and I had to get up at 4 in the morning. That's an ungodly hour to get up in the morning. But I had to get there on time. So I stopped at the local Tim Hortons coffee shop to get a coffee, and on my way out, I did an illegal turn. It's 4 in the morning. There's no traffic out there. What's the problem? Well, police officers thought it was a problem. So he pulled me over. And I'm thinking about it. This is when I worked in a deaf church. So, of course, I know sign language. And I thought, see, deaf people, by the way, get out of speeding tickets because they sign to the officer. And then the officer writes it down, and then they pretend they can't read. What the officer has to do is then take them downtown, call an interpreter, and then explain to them why they're getting a ticket. And most police officers just throw their hands up and mouth something like, don't do it again. So I'm thinking about this. I could sign to the officer and get away with it. Chances of him knowing sign language are very small, if at all. So I thought about it. And remember the old devil and angel on the shoulder bit? Well, the devil part of me said, go and do it. It'll get you out of a ticket. The angel part of me said, that's dishonest. Don't try it. But Susan will be mad if you get a ticket. And that almost clinched it. But then I thought, I can't do this. This is ridiculous. And it struck me as funny. So when the officer came up to the window, I was laughing a little bit. And he says, son, what's so funny? Well, what am I going to tell him? I was thinking of scamming you by using sign language. So I looked at him and I said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he looks at me. He goes back to the car. He gives me a warning. He says, I don't even think a ticket would ruin your day right now. So I got out of the ticket anyway. But rejoice in the Lord always. Some days we don't actually feel like that. And the Lord tells us why. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Today we're going to look at a divine contradiction. The last will be first, and the first will be last. See, God does not give us what we deserve. He gives us the very best instead. In the parable in the gospel lesson, the landowner, of course, is God himself. And he goes out first thing in the morning to where all the men were gathered who were looking for work. And he hired a bunch of them and said, go into the field and I'll pay you a denarius for the day's work. Now, a denarius that we learned last week was a day's wages, and it was a generous wage, a full denarius for a day's work. So he was being very generous with what he was paying them, but there was more work to be done. So he went out the third hour and got more workers. Then he went out on the sixth hour, which would have been about 3 p.m., and found more workers. And again, at 6 p.m., he does the same thing because there was still so much to be harvested. He goes out at the 11th hour at 8 o'clock. The workday ended at 9 p.m. So when we complain about our workdays ending at 5, in biblical times they ended at 9 p.m. But the day is nearly finished and he goes out with 1 hour's work and he finds more workers. But notice, except for the ones in the first group, he never mentions how much he's going to pay them. Now, at the end of the day, according to the law in Leviticus, workers had to be paid their wages at the end of each day. So he says, call the workers, pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first. So those who are hired at the 11th hour got a full denarius. They had to have been overjoyed and excited because they were expecting, honestly, what they deserved was only a 12th of a denarius. But, they got more than they thought was possible. There are parallels for us today. We always think we deserve the best, whether that's money, possessions, position of power. People think they deserve more than what they really do. Society lives as if it was heaven on earth, because many people do not think about eternity. They think they deserve to get into heaven. We deserve nothing at all In fact, we deserve the worst. If we think our good life earns us something, James 2:10 tells us, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." Jesus had heard from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law how they deserved blessings because they were the sons of Abraham. But the Lord reminds us that if we sin just once, we break the entire law of God. There's no use trying to escape that fact. We try to deny it, but the end result of our sin is a physical death. Ezekiel 18:4 tells us, "For every living soul belongs to me, the Father as well as the Son. Both alike belong to me. The soul that sins is the one who dies." Because of our sins, we deserve eternal death. But yet God does not condemn us. He treats us as though what's right in His sight, not ours. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't hand us over to Satan. Instead, the Lord saves us by His grace. Whether He calls the first, third, sixth, ninth, or 11th hour of a person's life, the call is still the same. But our sinful nature doesn't want to seek God sometimes. Even as believers, we leave our sinful human self to rule the day. But we rejoice that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We cannot boast because we are not getting what we deserve. Now, we can boast in a sense that God gives us what is right in His sight. Not what we deserve, because we deserve the worst, but God gives us only the best. The landowner was generous to all the latecomers as well. He said to those of the third, sixth, ninth, and 11th hours, "You go into the field and work." As I said, there was no mention of wages at all. The Lord called, and they went. Now, when the first group came up, they were expecting a lot more than their agreed-upon denarius. They thought they deserved more. But it was a fair wage because they had agreed to work for it. They said, "And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." The landowner was being generous to all the workers there. Because I said, a denarius was considered a good day's wage. And the landowner answered them and said, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? So why should they expect more than that?" He was already being generous by paying them the denarius. So he says, "Take your pay and go. I want to give to the man who was hired last the same as I gave you." Which should bring a familiar sentence to our minds when we hear the idea of going when the master is upset, is what he says to the goats on the last day, "Get out of my sight." They were envious because he was generous. They felt like they were being treated unfairly. And it says at the end, "So the last will be first and the first will be last." Those who humble themselves, he said, are considered last in the eyes of the world are going to be first, and those who are first in the eyes of the world are going to be humbled by God Himself. Our gracious God uses this teaching to remind us the power of His grace to save us. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." God used the cross, chose the cross, so that He might defeat Satan. He chose the death of His Son so that He could defeat death for all His believers. And God chose love to cover up the sinfulness of mankind. Those are seen as weak things in the eyes of the world. But because they're from God, they're the most powerful things there is. It's the most powerful message the world has ever heard. in the midst of trial and tribulation, look towards the things of God. Whether it's sadness or sickness, look to what God has given us, far more than what we deserve. And he does not give us what we think is right in our own eyes. He gives us what is right in his eyes. And consider the price. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed to you from our forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." When we receive the Lord's Supper, we are receiving the body and blood of Christ. That saving fact is what opens up heaven to us. And we look ahead to the best that is yet to come. We can enjoy this life. Even when we feel that we're getting the worst of it, we can enjoy life because God's thoughts are higher than ours. We rejoice today because we've been given the best gift ever, that of forgiveness and eternal life. And we know the story of St. Paul well. He was the worst of sinners, but yet God called him at that point. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:16, "But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and receive eternal life." Paul says that God was patient with him. God is patient with us as well. Our sinful nature, we desire to walk in sin. Our sinful nature drags us down and makes us the worst of all sinners. But it's at that point that God reaches down to us, lifts us, forgives us, and it's because of Christ. God's grace is abundant, whether it's for old believers or new believers, or even for those who think they sin just a little bit. God desires for us to be saved because the price is the same, the blood of Christ. The psalm writer writes in Psalm 103, "But he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God gives us what is right in his sight, not the worst, only the best. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.